One of my brothers-in-law asked me the other day if I was working on my sermon for Thanksgiving, my holiday sermon. I think he was trying to be funny, but I said, yes, I am. I do this a lot. I don't do it always, but a lot of times on holidays or during periods of time, maybe when something is on people's minds. It seems to me like if there's a biblical lesson there, if there's a spiritual lesson there, then what would be wrong with using that time to think about and stress and emphasize that particular spiritual lesson? And that may especially be true with this particular weekend, what is called Thanksgiving weekend, because my guess is that lots and lots of people professed thankfulness over the course of the last few days, maybe for the only time or one of the very few times during the course of the entire calendar year. It's probably true that a lot of you over the course of the last few days stood or sat with family and friends and were asked to talk about or to have something briefly to say about what it is that you were especially thankful for during this particular period of time. It is appropriate that we take some time, that we remember to give thanks, because we live in a world, and I don't think it's just that we live in a new world. I don't think it's a cultural thing. I think it's the world. But we live in a world where ingratitude is a serious problem. I haven't been able to document the quote, but I've seen it a lot. That supposedly Charles Dickens said this, that instead of one Thanksgiving day each year, we should have 364 Thanksgiving days and one day for complaining and griping. Even if it wasn't Dickens who said that, I like it. Because we are in a world where complaining and griping seems more and more to be the norm. And ingratitude is a very serious problem. When was the last time that you did something for someone? Maybe held a door open for someone, or gave up a seat for someone, or gave up a place in line for someone, and they even had enough manners and gratitude to say thank you for that. I mean, it very often happens that acts of kindness go unnoticed or unacknowledged. And what I would suggest to you at the very beginning of the lesson is that that's a sin. Ingratitude is a sin. I'm not going to read all of this in Luke chapter 11 or chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. You know the story. It is the story of the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus. And sometimes we make the point in Bible classes, or we make the point in sermons, that if you had been afflicted with a disease like what leprosy must have been, I'm not sure that what is called leprosy today would have been exactly what was identified as leprosy maybe 2,000 years ago, but whatever it was bad. And now all of a sudden you are healed of it. My guess is you would have been just as excited, just as happy, just as enthusiastic as those 10 lepers were. You would have gone on your way rejoicing just like they all did. But only one of them took the time to come back and to thank Jesus for what he had done. And the point that Jesus is making is that that ingratitude on the part of the other nine was sin. When we don't show thanks, when we are not thankful, we're not demonstrating the spirit of Christ. I'm going to quote some other passages in connection with the thankfulness of Christ, but just a couple come to mind that show, I think, that thankfulness was characteristic of Jesus while he was in the world. The feeding of the 5,000, and we have that recorded in John chapter 6, among other places in the New Testament. But in the feeding of the 5,000, I think it's significant that John says that Jesus took the time to take the loaves and give thanks for them. He knows he's about to work this incredible miracle, but he still takes the time to give thanks for the food when the people were seated. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." He gives thanks to God for revealed truth. And those are just two of many examples of Jesus being thankful in his life. I said a moment ago at the very beginning of the lesson, I don't think ingratitude is a cultural thing. I don't think it's postmodern. I don't think it's because we live in the 21st century. It has always been so. For example, in Romans chapter 1, we have this very scathing indictment by the Apostle Paul of the Gentile world that existed in the first century. So we're talking about 2,000 years ago. And among other things, among other charges that the Apostle Paul brings against the Gentile world of the first century, he said, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And so it was an issue. It was a problem. Clearly it was even in the first century. I suspect that it has always been the case. And what I would say to us, those of us who are assembled here this morning, the vast majority of those of us who are accountable to God, who are already Christians, what I would say to us is, if ingratitude is characteristic of the world at large, then we are not immune from that same challenge. We can be guilty of the sin of ingratitude as well. So what I want to do this morning, just to remind us about the importance of being thankful, the importance of giving thanks, I want to make three points about why it is so important for us to be thankful people. Why it is so important for us to be giving thanks. By giving thanks, I'm not just talking about thanking God, as vital as that is and as important as that is, and we're going to have some things to say about that, but just being thankful people, generally speaking, that it is characteristic of us that we are thankful, not just expressing thanks to God, but expressing thanks to others for the things that they do for us, for the kindnesses that they show to us. So why is it that it is so important for us to be thankful? Three things. The first thing is this, that when we are thankful people, when it is characteristic of us that we are thankful people, it gives us a better perspective of ourselves. Every time you say thank you, and assuming that it's not just rote, it's not just something that you say because you feel like you have to say it, but because you really mean it, every time we say thank you, we are saying, in effect, that we are not self-sufficient, that we need other people. I hope you were listening to Brother Randy this morning. And all of the things that he said were extremely helpful as we took the Lord's Supper, but the remarks that he made before we contributed. And I think maybe the very first thing that he said, there might have been something else first, but I think the very first thing, or one of the very first things he said is, everything we have was given to us, it came to us from something or someone else. And that is so exactly true. I mean, everything we have, we got from someone else. Ultimately, the source of every good and every perfect gift is God. We understand and recognize that. But everything we have is the result of getting it from someone else. And when we say thank you, when we say thank you to God for all the blessings that He gives us, when we say thank you to our parents for all the things that they do for us, when we say thank you to our spouses for all the ways that they serve us and all the ways that they build us up and all the ways that they help us, when we say thank you to people, we are acknowledging that we are not self-sufficient. One commentator suggested that giving thanks curbs our ego and cuts us down to size. And I like that. It's a reminder that we might very well be capable people, and we might very well have lots of talents and abilities, but we need other people. We are dependent on other people. The Apostle Paul, in passages like Philippians chapter 1, and this was one of our text passages, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, talking to the Philippians, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership. It's the Greek word koinonia, fellowship. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. When I pray, Paul said, I thank God for these people. You think about all of the things, all of the people that we have to be thankful for. Our families. You know, sometimes, maybe sometimes our families are the hardest people to be thankful for lots of reasons. Maybe it's true that we take each other for granted, that we're around each other a lot, that we assume that our families are going to be there for us in service. Sometimes family members, because we know them so well, and we know not just the good things about them, but we know the weaknesses and we know the shortcomings. And sometimes family can be a little bit more trying and a little bit more challenging than other people. But giving thanks for our families, just people who taught us the gospel. Your parents, if they taught you the gospel when you were a child, maybe a Christian with whom you worked, a gospel preacher at whose feet you sat and listened to the gospel being preached. Think about all of those people who taught you the gospel. Just the good people that you come in contact with from time to time. Not everyone is totally evil and wicked and immoral and ungodly. There are lots of good people out there. Members of the local church. Our spiritual family. And this list is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination, but just trying to think of some things. When we think about people, people on whom we are dependent, people who serve us, people who make us better, who make us stronger, preachers and teachers, not just teachers. I might should have separated those two, because certainly teachers in Bible classes, but teachers in schools. Most of us can remember one or two or maybe a handful of really special teachers along the way who really helped us. Those people who make sacrifices, not necessarily even just sacrifices for us, but who sacrifice themselves to serve other people. Thankful for God's Son, as we've tried to be as we remembered His death on the cross. By taking the Lord's Supper this morning, we could fill page after page after page. When we think about all the people upon whom we depend, all of the people, all of the beings who serve us, when we are thankful people, it helps us to put ourselves in proper perspective. It gives us a little dose of humility. Let me suggest to you, secondly, that being thankful improves our perspective about our things. And I think this is a really important point. All of us know what a steward is. I mean, all of us know what a steward is. We talk about that in sermons. We talk about that in Bible classes. I doubt very seriously you talk about this at work. I mean, you know, you can't remember the last time that the word steward came up. On the job or at the ball game, you know, you're sitting there watching a game and a touchdown or a basket was just scored and you turn to the guy next to you and say, well, let's talk about stewardship. You know, it's pretty much that word is pretty much just, confined to discussions like this, but the concept is considerably broader than that. A steward was someone who was placed in charge of the possessions of someone else. And Paul says about stewards in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 that it is required of them that they be found faithful. In other words, a steward would be held accountable for how well he took care of the things that he didn't own, they weren't his, They belong to someone else, but they have been entrusted into his care. And when you look at the big picture, that's everything, right? That's everything. And so we talk about my house. I do. I mean, I use personal, first person, personal pronoun. My car. You know, my things. We talk about those kinds of things. And sometimes we need to remember. I think it's extremely helpful for us frequently to remember that when we use language like that, we're just using accommodative language. None of those things are really ours. Nothing is ours. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Everything that we possess, everything that is within our control is something that has been given to us by God. We are stewards, and being thankful helps to remind us of that. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of covetousness." The English Standard Version says, "Take care and be on your guard against covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." It's so challenging. It's so tempting, especially in this country, in this culture. We get back to a cultural thing here where we possess, we have within our control so many things, so much stuff. It's so easy to get caught up in those things and lose sight of the fact that God intended for us to just be stewards of those things, that we're going to have to give an account to God of how we use those things. And being thankful helps us do that in two ways. First of all, we count our blessings. What, your house, your car, your clothes, your savings account, your investments, your collectibles, whatever it is, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father. And so we sing the song sometimes, "Count your many blessings." You know, we are reminded when we're being thankful about all the incredible physical ways, let alone the spiritual blessings that God gives us. The physical ways that God gives, the physical things, the physical gifts that God gives us. And secondly, it can teach us to be content. Our life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things we possess. And so covetousness, let me ask you a question. I think I've done this before. I'm not looking for an out loud answer necessarily, but And maybe let me know, because, you know, I've asked this question in a lot of different places at a lot of different times. Have you ever heard someone who walked down to the front of the church building during the invitation song and said something along the lines of this: "I am guilty of the sin of covetousness, and I want to repent of that, and I want to let it be known that I'm covetous, but I don't want to do that anymore. I know I have never heard." You think about the catalog of sins. Most of us have probably, if you've been around local churches long enough, you've heard just about everything acknowledged publicly, confessed publicly. But I can't remember ever hearing anybody confess the sin of covetousness. Two possibilities then. One of them is we've whipped that. You know, we got that thing beaten or beat. And it's just not an issue anymore. We don't have to worry about covetousness. We don't get too wrapped up in our things. Our things don't become too important to us. The other thing is that we are so caught up in the sin of covetousness, we are so wrapped up in our things that we are almost blinded to the influence and the effect that they have on us. And that's why whatever house you're living in, it's never enough. Whatever car you're driving, it's never enough. Whatever clothes you're wearing, it's never enough. However much money you make, it's never enough. However much food you've got to eat, it's never enough. We've always got to have more. Always got to have more. Being content with what we have, as Paul had learned to do in whatever situation he found himself. If he was prospering, he had learned to be content. If he was suffering, he tells the Philippians, he had learned to be content. So, being thankful improves our perspective about our things. Just very quickly, thankfulness helps us to overcome selfishness. If we're being thankful for the things that we have, we won't be as selfish. It can help us to overcome selfishness. There's a parable, just very quickly, there's a parable in Matthew chapter 18 about the unforgiving servant. This servant who had been forgiven a massive debt, who in turn refuses to forgive a very small debt that someone owed him. And part of Jesus' response to this servant is, should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And so, thankfulness can help us to overcome selfishness, faithlessness. We already mentioned Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Why were these Gentiles, why did they lack faith? Well, in part, Paul said, because they had not given thanks to God. Discontent. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I do want to read this beginning in verse 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. And again, wouldn't it be wonderful if that were absolutely true about every one of us? That we've got something to eat and we've got something to wear, and that makes us content. And then the text that we read together in Psalm 103. Thoughtlessness. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Giving thanks improves our perspective about our things. Let me suggest to you, number three, that giving thanks improves our perspective about our God. When we say thank you for what we have, all the blessings, all the material blessings, all the spiritual blessings, we are acknowledging that those things came from God. Thankfulness reminds us that God is our Father. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. Thankfulness reminds us that Christ is our Savior. Salvation in no other name under heaven, only in the name of Christ. Thankfulness reminds us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter and guide, that God's people are our brothers and sisters, that the Bible is our roadmap to heaven. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Thankfulness reminds us that we have access, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, to all spiritual blessings. It is impressive to use your computer concordance and type in the word, all the words that are associated with thank. Thanks, thank, thanks, thankful, thankfulness. And just be blown away by how many times those words appear in the Bible. How important a concept that is. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks to the Father Romans chapter 6, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient to the heart, to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves of righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Read the New Testament. Read especially the writings of the Apostle Paul. And be amazed at how often he comes back to this idea or concept of thankfulness. And then compare that to yourself. We compare that to our own lives. Is that characteristic of us as well? I think about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 especially, where Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. Let me stop there. Come back to the rest of the verse in just a moment. Do not be anxious about anything. What is it that you are anxious about? What is it that you are anxious about? Are you anxious about the economy? What is it that you are anxious about? Are you anxious about politics? What is it that you are anxious about? Are you anxious about sports? What we worry about, what we're anxious about, what we fret about says a lot about who we are as people and what's really important to us. Paul said, be anxious about nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. And if you stop and think about that, let's just leave God out of the equation for just a second. It makes a lot of sense. If you're anxious about the economy, what can you do about it? If you're anxious about politics, what can you do about it? If you're anxious about sports, looking at the physical condition of most of us in the room, what can you do about it? What is there out there that we get anxious and worried and fret all the time about that we have any control over at all? Not a thing. Not a thing. Paul didn't say, try not to be too anxious too often. Be anxious a little bit. It's okay to be anxious some. Paul said, don't be anxious at all. Don't be anxious at all. How do we do that? How do we do that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. How is it that we can put those anxieties away? And how much is anxiousness? How much is anxiety costing us? How many health-related issues are directly related to anxiety? Stress. How many health insurance claims are directly related to anxiety? How many conflicts are directly related to anxiety? How much is all of that costing us? And it's something that we can't do anything about. And when we fret about those kinds of things, we violate what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4. When you sit around and fret and worry about money, when you sit around and fret and worry about politics, when you sit around and fret and worry about all these things, you're sinning. Paul said, don't be anxious about anything. And the way you do that is you learn to be thankful for what you do have. And thankful for what you do have some control over. Thankful for all of the things that God does for us. Thankful for all of the things that God has provided for us and all of the ways that other people serve us. I said at the very beginning of the lesson, I'm afraid That ingratitude is not just a problem in the world in general. It is a problem among us as well. Thankfulness, giving thanks, improves our perspective about our God. There are just very quickly, there are a lot of benefits to being thankful. When you're thankful, you enjoy obeying God. And here's just very quickly, here's what I mean by that. If you've got an employer who's just a terrible person, a tyrant, unfair, and the employer says to you, you must do something. You may have no choice but to do it. You probably have no choice but to do it, but you're not going to like it. Did you ever do that when you were a kid sometimes, when your parents asked you to do something and you really didn't want to do it? I'll do it. If you were smart, you didn't say this out loud. You just said it in your head, but I'll do it, but I'm not going to like it. How much easier is it to do something for someone when we know that they're doing so much for us, that they love us, that they appreciate us? How much easier would it be to serve God if we were thankful people, always remembering and always being thankful for all the things that God does for us? Being thankful, we learn to appreciate the many blessings that we might normally take for granted. Listen, we say this a lot in our public prayers, and I'm glad that we do. Thank you for our blessings and help us to not take those things for granted. Sometimes we say, help us not take those things for granted, but I think God understands and gets it. But I hope we're not just saying that. I hope that's not a vain repetition. He would say that because we've got to say something when we pray. And so that's one of the things that we can say. I hope we really mean that. When we say amen, I hope that we really mean that. That help us not to take all these incredible blessings that God has provided for us for granted. As we've already mentioned, we see things in the proper perspective. Material things become considerably less important to us than spiritual things. Our selfish needs and wants are not as important as doing God's will. And finally, we appreciate opportunities to help other people, to serve other people. That's my Thanksgiving lesson on giving thanks. Maybe it needs to be preached more often than just on Thanksgiving. But I hope we are a thankful people, that we really appreciate all the incredible things that God has done for us. I hope we really appreciate, genuinely and sincerely appreciate, all of the nice things, all of the good things that other people do for us. I love to hear people, I just do, I love to hear people say thank you. When I do something for someone, and that, if the reason we're doing it is because we want to be praised, then we have other issues, right? But honestly, don't you appreciate it? Doesn't it mean something to you when you do something for somebody? Even just some little thing and they say, thank you. Maybe a note, you know, maybe a text, maybe an email that is, thank you for what you've done. To let them know that they appreciate it. It means a lot. I hope that we are that kind of people, that we are thankful people. And when we're thanking God for all the incredible blessings that He gives for us, at the top of that list, as Brother Randy reminded us at the Lord's table this morning, is the sacrifice of His Son. Being thankful to God for the sacrifice that He made in sending His Son. Being thankful to the Son for being willing to come and to endure what He had to endure to make it possible for us to have forgiveness of sins. Have you expressed your thanks to God for that indescribable gift? Express your thanks to God by responding to the invitation, confessing that you believe Jesus is God's Son, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Are you grateful for the ongoing, as a Christian, are you grateful for the ongoing blessings and benefits, all spiritual blessings that we receive in Christ? If there's anything we can do at all to assist you in responding to God's invitation, And please, let us know how we might serve you by coming down to one of these front seats. Do that right now while we stand and sing. We invite you to come.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright,